Wednesday edition.
The draft day eve edition. All the stars are out on today's edition. Rob Domofsky, Gardo. What more could you ask for from Wilde and Tausch episode edition? And the relax or panic, judging from the responses Tausch got on social media, no one's really panicking because either they think Giannis is coming back or they never had expectations of the Bucks winning this series anyway? Edition of Wilde and Tausch. A 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on WisconsinOnDemand.com and the Wisconsin On Demand app. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. And from his undisclosed location, he is always relaxed. Are Bucks fans becoming like Packers fans when Packers are doing poorly? Like they're just, I'm done. I don't have any expectations. He is the Packers Hall of Famer. He's Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you, and were you surprised by the responses to your tweet?
I'm doing fine. I was able to catch most of the game last night, and I'm not surprised because I think most of us as Bucks fans understood that when Giannis got hurt, this was going to be a tough haul, and even before that. So last night wasn't surprising to me. Sunday was more of a surprise to me than Tuesday. And can things change? Yeah, they can. Giannis can be healthy and be back and find a way to gut this team to steal a game in Indy and then win the next two home games and win in seven. But I just think the odds are that Indiana's going to win this series. And even though we were the three seed and had home court, I never felt like that we were the favorite. And last night, Dame puts up 34. Middleton gets hurt again. He's kind of limping around. He only puts up 15. Brolo's draining threes from everywhere. But if we're not going to, at home, have our guys PC and Bobby and anyone else chip in, we're not beating the Pacers. So I think this last night, while there's very few, I think I had 100 and some odd responses back, very few were, relax, this thing's fine, because nobody knows where Giannis is going to be.
Right.
I think there's more resignation. I wasn't going to spell out resignation.
Great word.
Compared to relaxation. I think it's more resignation than relaxation from a Bucks fan standpoint, and I don't blame people for feeling that way.
So I guess I have to ask this, though, because as the Dame Time guy, is it a little surprising that even with Giannis's injury that we're sitting here in resignation mode when they acquired Damian Lillard, the excitement level was at a fever pitch. I mean, you know, championship dreams. And now here we are. The series is tied 1-1.
Yep.
Like, it's not like they lost the first two at home, and they won the first one.
Lost home court.
Well, from what I understand, a series doesn't really start until someone wins on someone else's.
I really, really want people to stop saying that.
Why do you hate that so much?
Because, Jason, how many series just played out bing, bang, boom? You win in seven games and you never win a road game.
I don't know.
It happens a lot.
Check with the ESPN. I don't think that's true.
So until the Bucks lost last night, home teams had been 12-0 in the playoffs, and then the Bucks lost, and then the Clippers lost to the Mavericks late. Yeah,
yeah.
So
and then another team lost at
home. I understand the premise of it, but there have been numerous series that have just went chalk, seven game win, boom, 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 and so George Karl basically says, "Well, those series didn't even start."
Well, like, that's a dumb thing. I think you're taking it too literally. I know you don't like this quote.
But that is what he said. But I don't want to get into George. I disagree violently.
I know
with
you really hate that quote.
The point on this is, Jason, and where you're saying, well, you got Dollar Dame, and that should be enough. How many of the contending teams, if you take their by far superstar, take Jason Tatum off the Celtics, they're not going to go win a championship. Take Jokic off the Nuggets, they ain't winning a championship. Take Doncic off the Mavericks, they ain't winning a championship. So why are we so arrogant to think, well, take Giannis off our team and we'll still win a championship? No, we're not.
No, we're not. Now, wait a minute now.
You just said it. You said, why are we all saying this when you still have Dollar Dame?
I don't like what you're hearing.
I definitely don't like what you're hearing. the idea that you have another star, another how many time all-star, like all-NBA player. The idea is, I'm not saying they can win a championship without Giannis playing the rest of the playoffs. I never came anywhere close to saying that. But there have been times when teams have won first-round playoff series without their star player. Now you're going to force me to go do research in the commercial breaks because I don't follow the NBA as close. You're the NBA analyst. You're the one who sits on this show and claims you know the NBA. So tell me some examples of series where they lost a guy and their best player and they just got swept. What are there's apparently so many examples of that.
No, I'll go back to 1995. The New York Knickerbockers took out the Bulls. You know, Jordan won there. Shocking. Jordan wasn't. He's playing baseball.
Oh my God! That's your retort.
My retort is you can sneak a game like the Bucks did in Game 6 on their lead up to the championship. You can win a game. We saw that Sunday. But when you start looking at playoff series, which get to be overanalyzed, and every team knows everybody else's stuff, it comes down to players. It comes down to your stars being stars. That's why they're stars. And when they don't find a way to get it done or they're injured, the teams usually, and there may be very few exceptions to this rule. I don't know any. Where your guy is missing series and you just expect your guy. You're not going to win those series when you're playing against good teams. You're just not. So while I think if Giannis can be back, and obviously he was shooting around and there's some hope, if he's back and he's healthy, the Bucks can absolutely win this series. Absolutely. But if he's not, they have no chance. They're not going to. It's over. And I think it might be over in five, if that's the case. Last night is what we saw all season. Last night was the Pacers didn't shoot Garbanzo, and Dalla Dame didn't go cray-cray. He still was awesome in the first half, but he wasn't cray-cray. And Bobby Portis, when Bobby Portis and the role guys stink like they did, you have no chance. And that's what happened last night.
Can you not say cray-cray anymore?
As long as you don't say, I'm going to go hunting, I will not say cray-cray.
I kind of like cray-cray.
As Josh and I both are wondering, this Josh DiMaggio, who produces the show in the Gruber Law Offices, One Call, That's All Studios, are you done zoing this team already?
If Giannis does not play, I'm done zoing him, yes. If Giannis does not suit up, this thing is over.
All right.
What, is anyone going to argue? How on earth does anyone argue with that point?
No one is arguing with that point. My question is,
why are we throwing Dunzo up?
If he comes back, are you still Dunzoing them?
No, if Giannis comes back, I think they can find a way to get it done in seven. Going to still be really difficult. But no, Giannis is our difference maker. He isn't out there. We're not beating very many teams, guys. Like, let's just call it what it is. We are a super... and. The reason I love Dalla Dame so much, it wasn't because I thought he'd come in and take over when Giannis. It's because at the end of games, when Giannis gets hot potato-y, Dalla Dame can close up shop. He can be the Kobe, and I'm not saying he's Kobe, but he could do like what Shaq needed someone to do to help him win championships, which was Kobe.
Have
close
the ball
up
in his
games.
Hand and get fouled, yeah.
Yes, and not, I mean, I'll never get the hot potato image out of my head. That's when I knew it needed to be Dame time. We needed that But Dame Time can't do it without Giannis. He just can't. He couldn't do it in Portland. He can't do it in Milwaukee.
I guess I don't know the Portland Trailblazers playoff history well enough to know how far he took
teams.
They had one good run.
Hmm.
So, that's why you're the NBA analyst. We don't know if Giannis is coming back in this series or not. He has not played in the first two games. Game three is Friday at 4:30 in Indianapolis. So you can spend your Friday matinee with the Bucks. Although, based on your expectation, if Giannis doesn't play, which you would say there's no chance they're going to win. Thank you for playing.
If Giannis does not play the rest of this series, the Milwaukee Bucks will be bounced in the first round again.
Yeah, and that would mark the second straight season in which they were bounced in the first round last year as the number one seed.
Then all of the talk is going to be ugly. And that's what I'm not looking forward to. So I'm hoping we get this thing flipped. I hope it. I hope that we can find a way to get to, because I think if we end up getting to the second round and playing New York, I like our chances. I think we match up, we'll be fine. And then Boston will probably knock us out. That to me, all right, with all the stuff that happened, I think everybody can say, moving forward, we can get this done. We just need to get a little younger, a little more athletic, but we got Dalla, and we got Giannis. Everybody can feel good. If this happens, how on earth can we sit here as Bucks fans and say after two seasons watching this unfold, are we better? Have we gotten younger, more athletic, or are we getting old before our eyes? The answer is we're getting old before our eyes.
Chris Middleton turned an ankle. He did not look like he could help carry this team in Giannis's absence last night. I get that. There was a text from Adam in DeForest, and you know I usually agree with people from DeForest, but I think the point was made on the broadcast that I was watching with Marcus Johnson and
you
Lisa
can't
Byington.
Get full of eating yesterday's pancakes? What a quote.
I love that one.
What a quote. Jesse, if you could pull that up, that would be a great quote when we're starting to... That's a hot drop if I've ever heard one. I don't fully understand
what does it mean, though? It's kind of like taking the rat poison, right?
No, it means
rat poison. I fully understand.
It's kind of the rat poison, but
right? It's like you're resting on yesterday's pancakes, and you're not filling yourself up by eating those.
The Packers beat the Bears, and they got full on the pancakes in Week One, and then they were full on the pancakes when they fell apart against the Falcons in Week Two. You can't get full on yesterday's pancakes.
But I have
pancakes.
A question for you. I have a question for you and for Marcus Johnson.
It's not our quotes.
You can 100% get full on yesterday's pancakes.
Yeah, it's not as enjoyable.
You bring them home.
They're not.
You bring
hot
a big snack. No, pancakes. Pancakes are good leftovers.
No, it's not about. No, they're not. First of all, they're not even good. Like 10 minutes removed from being fresh.
No.
That's what makes pancakes.
No, microwaving them. They don't microwave.
Regriddle them. Just regriddle.
Then they get all crispy.
Regriddle.
Yesterday's pancakes suck.
Oh yeah, you hate having crisp. You hate having a little texture on the edge of a pancake. What that? Come on.
The point is not that you can reheat the pancakes. Like, reheating yesterday's pancakes makes them today's pancakes. Yesterday's pancakes means you can't just eat it all yesterday and say I'm still full for dinner today. That's the point of yesterday's
pancakes.
Now
that makes more sense.
Yeah. Good job,
Jesse.
So it
is rat poisony.
Yes.
It is kind of rat poisony. Okay.
Which I believe I was poo-pooed for.
All right, starting to make more sense.
For my initial observation.
I looked at it too literally, and that's on me. I looked at it.
Big analogy literalist. Yeah. All right. We're going to move on from this. This is not our milieu, so we're going to move on. We're going to talk about the draft, which is happening this week. Starting
Jesse, is
tomorrow.
This thing over? Jason's not a fan, so I can't ask him. Jesse, is this thing over or not?
No, I don't think it's over.
Why do I have to be a fan to be able to answer that question?
If the Bucks...
You don't care. So I don't know if you... I mean, do you have an opinion? I didn't want to put you on the spot. You don't want to predict.
I just spent the last 10 minutes trying to explain that I don't think it's over.
You got to get.
I don't want you predict.
You got to get one of two in Indianapolis on Friday or Sunday. You got to get one of those.
Well, no blank.
Well, if you go down 3-1, some teams.
Really good insight there, Jesse.
Some teams you can say, well, they're
they got to get to four before they get.
I think some Bucks fans would make the argument if Giannis comes back and they're down 3-1, they could still make the run. I'm saying they can't. They got to be 2-2 for Giannis to come back potentially Tuesday. Hopefully, like yeah. Hopefully it doesn't even get to beyond Tuesday. They can win it by then, but you got to be 2-2 coming home. Absolutely.
What do you want to bet that they aren't done by? If they're done by Tuesday, it ain't because they won it. I'll make that wager with you if you're interested.
I think you should go Mr. reheat yesterday's pancakes during the first break. Get a little food out of your tummy.
I don't want to be negative. Like, I don't. I want to see
well, you're doing a great job.
Parade and everything. No, but this is how I feel, guys. I only can go off of what I watch. And what I saw at the end of the year freaked me out. But I also was like, all right, switch flipping time. This is a veteran crew. Sunday they flipped the switch. I don't know if they got enough voltage. I don't know if they're lighting anything up with the switch they're
flipping.
Light it up.
All right. As much as I'd love to continue this debate, which apparently I wasn't really debating, there is no debate when it comes to replacement windows because Gina Della, she's got a lot going on right now, and her sleek windows look amazing.
Sleek Gina, sleek design windows. Turn your ordinary space into something extraordinary with brand new Pella windows and doors. The luxurious look, sleek design and custom colors available are guaranteed to give your home the extra pop to entertain and to keep you comfortable. It is the best of both worlds. Plus, getting the perfect windows and doors for your home, it's never been easier. And again, I had to check through. I think I got this right now. 0% interest for up to 60 months.
Nailed it.
Up to 60 months with zero. Matter of fact, I had a buddy call me yesterday, said, hey, I know you got Pella windows. Is that right? First off, I was telling them how great they are. But that can't be right. How are they doing that with 0% interest for 60 months? I said, listen, man, I don't know how they do that because I tell you all the time, inflation, stagflation, shrinkflation, and then all the interest rates, everything else. I don't know how they're doing this at 0% for 60 months, but they are. And you have until May 10th to do it. Take ownership of your living space. And make it a place worth living with Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
We're getting a number of pancake responses.
My mom made pancakes. I don't know how she did it, but I always used to love. She'd get the edges super crispy.
Like caramelized?
And then it was a nice soft. I don't know what she did. I don't know if
like
I want to know what
pizza?
She did to make. It was just a crispy circular edge around the whole thing, and then a good soft fluff to the middle, which is key to a good pancake, right? Is a good
Agreed.
Soft fluff.
Yeah,
but
not raw.
Having the crispy edge is a great addition to a pancake. And for you to poo-poo that, I didn't like that one bit.
You are not listening at all today. I would just like to state that for the record. I didn't say that's the problem. The problem is if you reheat them and you overcook them, then they get crunchy, and I don't want pancakes that are like that. I don't think they reheat well. Now, Dave and Aaron has chimed in on the text line to inform us to put them in the toaster?
Old T.
I have never done that.
You toss them pancakes in the toaster, and they turn out great.
So I think, for as much as I like Marcus Johnson, I think you can get full on yesterday's pancakes. I do. I think you can.
So, wait. So, again, I'd like to move on.
Goody's full on yesterday's pancakes from last year's draft.
Yeah, well,
am I right?
Goody's hungry. I'm going to tell you this. Goody's hungry for some waffles this year. He wants waffles. That's what he wants.
All right, I quit. You are the king of the analogy. The fact that you're taking his pancake analogy literally is fascinating to me. We will get more of your responses on pancakes, but it is...
You can't get full on yesterday's pizza. Well, sure you can. You got a leftover pizza, you're going to get full on yesterday's pizza. You warm it up, this.
No, you're not, because you're only going to take one bite, and then you're going to put it back in the fridge.
It's not yesterday's pizza if it's today's pizza. That's the difference. You're just talking about what you ate yesterday. Not what you're eating today.
It's NFL draft week. I don't know if you guys know this. We'll try to talk about it at some point. Next, it's Wilde and Tausch.
You're listening to Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and sponsored by American Family Insurance.
We've got from ESPN.com coming up next.
Kind of rejigger the schedule.
Big old newsbreaker.
He also made a selection in the NFL Nation mock drafts. I saw it as well, but if you didn't, here is Rob at the podium making the selection yesterday on ESPN 8, The Ocho.
With the 25th pick, the Green Bay Packers select Cooper DeJean, defensive back, Iowa. We could have gone with tackle Amarius Mims here since the Packers have moved on from David Bakhtiari and might eventually want to move Zach Tom to center where they think he can be a dominant player. But DeJean is so versatile. He can play outside, he can play inside in the slot, and perhaps even safety. And the Packers no doubt want to give new defensive coordinator Jeff Hafley an influx of talent. Also, they love Iowa guys. This would be the second straight year that they have taken a player from Iowa in round one.
Was he in like a locker room when he was doing that, or like
I don't. We'll have to ask him where he was. I thought he was just in his room where he joins us from with the seafoam green.
No, he has a fancy room that he joins on the when he goes on the big TV.
Correct. He's got a nifty shelf and stuff. Yeah, he's
pretty nice.
They used to.
Well, he could probably. You know what he should do?
Well, I know Kohler Services is.
I don't know if I have a Kohler Services today, but what he could do, redo his full bathroom. That could be a workspace. That could be one big old write-off because that's how he does it, right? Is that not fair for him?
I love Kohler Services.
He could be sitting in his new bath with that free lugstone shower door and just doing his hit from his shower.
I envision
on ESPN.
The scene in The Christmas Story where Ralphie's doing the code on the toilet. And
drink
the kids
more
are
Ovaltine.
No, DeJean. And yeah, he's got to fill it out. And it's like, all right, DeJean. My code is DeJean. That's who we're picking. And in fairness, he's probably got about as much accuracy doing the mock draft as Ralphie did with his little Ovaltine deal. No?
Is that a criticism of your favorite beat writer right there? That he's not.
No,
he's guessing.
It's a criticism of the mock draft industrial complex.
Well,
MDIC.
That I agree with. So he did pick Cooper DeJean.
So who do you want? Yeah, I think that's been kind of that pick that most Packer fans, because it fits a need. He's an Iowa guy, and I think it's this new defensive coordinator. Wow, this would be a great immediate fit, which I think we always are looking for, and especially a team that is going to have Super Bowl aspirations like the G&G. But I don't get how one way it's, well, he has no chance to be there, and all of a sudden now it's like, yeah, he'll be there. Well, nobody knows. And again,
right.
That's why I think it's vital if we want to get DeJean or if we want to get Barton or whomever is kind of Goody's cat, that 5 to 6 quarterbacks go before us. That would be beautiful. If we end up seeing that run on quarterbacks and then that run on wideouts, that will take you 11 or 12 picks off the board, and no way are the McCarthys and the Penixes, are they going to be ranked higher on the Green Bay Packers board than Cooper DeJean? Do you get
Agreed.
What I'm saying?
I
That's
do.
What the hope
I...
is.
I get what you're saying, and that it would push down more good non-quarterback players further down the draft, and you'd have an opportunity.
Grab those wideouts. Right. Let's see a run on those guys, too.
All right, we need to get to Rob Domofsky. You need to tell us about the prize picks. Jeriad had a good text.
That's good stuff by Jeriad.
I have a question for Tucker in Wausau so we can move on from the pancake debate. Tucker said that he fries bacon and then uses the grease on the pancakes. How would that work logistically? Because that sounds gross. No offense, Tucker.
It sounds gross.
Yeah.
No, it sounds. It doesn't sound healthy, but I don't think it sounds gross.
So you take the grease after you've made the bacon, and then you fry the pancakes in the bacon grease,
Jason,
on your griddle?
How do you think people fry pancakes? You either use butter or you use oil. Like, what? How else are you using? How else are you frying pancakes?
We have a little like pancake maker thing. Like, it's a little. It closed the top on it.
What do you spray on there?
You spray like an olive oil. Yeah, it's like an olive oil spray, so it doesn't stick.
What a health nut! Yeah, Jason's a health nut. He's spraying avocado oil. Tom Brady Jr. over here with his pancakes. Prize Picks. You don't have to worry about any pancakes with Prize Picks. America's number one fantasy sports app with over 3 million active members. All you do, pick more or less on 2 to 6 players and let the winnings roll in. I got greedy the other night. I went for, I think, a 5-piece nuggie. I need to stay in my comfort zone of 2, 3, or 4 if I'm getting real frisky, but it's fun. Go ahead, do it. You got all of you got basketball, you got hockey, you got baseball, that first inning bit. I love it. Prize Picks is really simple to play. Make your picks and submit your entry in less than 60 seconds. Prize Picks also offers weekly promotions like Joker, 0.5 the other night. I don't know what they got brewing today. I'll take a look. Download the app today. Use that code WI for a first deposit match up to $100. That's code WI on Prize Picks for a first deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
We'll see if Tausch is feeling frisky when Rob Domofsky joins us next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Sponsored by American Family Insurance. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at amfam.com.
So after Peter LaFleur's Average Joe's knocked off Globo Gym on the Oat Show, I got to see Rob Domofsky make the 25th pick in the 2024 NFL Nation Mock Draft with Rich Mahogany behind him, and now he joins us perhaps from a different room in his home. He is the Packers beat writer. What is this now, 10 years, 11 years, 12 years? At ESPN, you've been there a long time. We're still waiting for you to get your first pick right in the mock draft. And I hope this one, you got it. Cooper DeJean's favorite beat writer, it is Rob Domofsky. Rob, good morning. How are you?
Good, Jason. I'm not going to get it right because Goody talked extensively about how much he liked Cooper DeJean or how versatile he was or whatever the answer was. And the whole time I'm sitting there going, well, we taped the show yesterday. And if he was going to take Cooper DeJean, he wouldn't have gotten.
Well, now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I saw this in the transcript because you got your own question, which is always fun in our transcription pool. And that's what you said. You're not. You must have gotten it wrong. But he was directly asked by one of our colleagues about Cooper DeJean. And yeah. If you're Goody and you say, oh, I'm not going to talk about specific prospects, then isn't that tipping your hand that you might like him? I think you've still got a real shot here, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it depends on which way you look at it. I'm 0 for, I guess it's 11, or soon to be 0 for 12 or whatever. So I guess I'm just trying to, I'm looking at it from the negative perspective because I haven't gotten a single one right. Although, I believe on our TV show, that we do on Channel 2, WBAY, which will air tonight in the Green Bay and perhaps other markets. Last year, I did flip my pick to Lucas Van Ness on that show because the problem with our, you know, full disclosure on our mock draft at ESPN, we actually have to do that on Friday. We tape it over the weekend so that the producers can then put it together to air on Tuesday. So a lot of times, the best information comes out, you know, today or even tomorrow morning of the draft. Right. I remember 2020, someone telling me on either Wednesday night or Thursday morning, hey, don't be surprised if they take Jordan Love. And I was like, I could have used that information 3 or 4 days ago.
So, Rob, what is some of this best information? Because now it's Wednesday. You're a newsbreaker. You are a newsbreaker. What are you hearing? Give us what those ears are hearing behind 1265.
Yeah, I mean, look, you never know what to believe. That's the thing, Tausch. For all those times that I said, you know, those last couple examples that I mentioned, there's been just as many where people have told me things that weren't even close to true.
Some subterfuge. So, a little subterfuge.
Yeah. And it's just, you know, it's just so hard to know. I have not talked to anybody today I did throw my mock draft pick, Cooper DeJean, by a couple people last night after the show aired. And I got basically the could be kind of responses from a couple of people.
Oh, that's not bad.
So
it's pretty good.
And it's just here's the problem, too. I think there's a decent chance they might move up a couple spots. If they want to tackle, they might have to. You know, the worst part, selfishly for me, is if Cooper DeJean's on the board and they don't take him, right? Then I really botched it. There's been years where I've picked guys that have gone that just had gotten picked before the Packers. So I guess, I mean, yes, I was wrong, but they didn't have the opportunity to take those players. So, look, I was just texting with another member of the media about this, who was trying to work on his mock draft pick. And it's like, this is impossible. We went round and round and round. And then finally it was, this is impossible.
So, Rob, if you're looking at it, I know you got Cooper DeJean as your guy. But yeah, if the Packers, everything falls the way they want, what position do you think they would address if all draft grades were equal?
Yeah.
Where do you think Goody is like, this is where we have to hit with the makeup of our team as it sits?
I think it's tackle, Tausch. I really do. And I've seen the Duke guy mock to the Packers, but he's not an NFL tackle, I don't think, from what everyone has told me. I don't see them making that pick. Barton, I think, is his name. Look, like we talked about on the show a couple weeks ago that apparently rocked the world, you know, if they want a center for next year, they're going to move Zach Tom there. They're not going to draft another center. But I do think that tackle is their greatest need, and therefore, you know, we never really know how they assemble their board, but I heard you guys talking before I came on about – like, their needs may make a player rated higher than, you know, a team that wants a quarterback or whatever. So, like, it's just if they came out of this draft with a guy who could compete for a starting tackle job this year, that's probably the best thing. Now, maybe that's a second or third round pick. You know, I don't know. It is a deep tackle draft from what they tell me. The other thing, Tausch, and I think this is – I like to point this out on mock drafts – I think there's too many people in this mock draft business that pick who they want the Packers to take or who they would pick. No one cares what we think. I'm trying to figure out what they would do. Obviously, I haven't been very good at it, but that is my attempt. My attempt isn't to pick, hey, I would pick Cooper DeJean. Like, no one cares what I think.
So we spent a lot of time talking about subterfuge with Goody to start our session with him on Monday.
Yeah.
How much of the, I've got five picks in the first 91, because you just suggested that they might have to go up to get a tackle. Yeah. How much of, I've got five picks in the first 91, I could get five of the top 50 guys on my board. Those are really good players. I don't want to give up those picks. Do you actually believe? Because that is what he told us.
It is. And here's the thing, Jason. Like, I don't think they do this way anymore. In fact, I think Goody a couple years ago explained the way they rate guys. But I would love to know how many – do they pick a 25. Do they have 25 players with first-round grades? Now, I'm pretty sure that used to be the way they graded, right? Mm-hmm. I think that has changed a little bit. So, but my bigger point is, what do they value is in the top 91? Do they have 91 players – or 100 players that they think are really good enough to be picked at? If not, then you have to probably move up, you know, whether that's in the first, second, or third rounds. You know, if you're not getting the value that you think you should get at those picks, then you probably should trade up, right?
Well, you would think so. At the same time, I do think that there are, you know, if you believe – your board, and we did that whole thing because I asked him about the Jaden Reed pick, and he was talking about how at that time his board was so strong that they could trade back twice, and hey, if we didn't get Jaden Reed, we'd have gotten somebody else that we had highly graded, right? So if they do feel that way about their second round and third round boards, if you will, then maybe he's a little reluctant to use one of them to go up a couple of spots in the first round. But again, I totally agree with you. I find the mock draft concept of here's who I think they should draft. I don't no one wants to know who we think because we aren't the ones who scout these guys to the degree that they do. If you are looking at their list of needs, you talked about tackle. But I would argue that on the defensive side of the ball, pretty much everything is a need, whether it's immediately or what else do you think they really need to be in the market for here in the next 2 days?
Well, here's the thing, too, is this all works hand in hand with their current roster and then their projections for the next couple of years, right? Like, we sit here and assume, I guess, that Kenny Clark is still in their long-term plans after this season. But let's say maybe we're wrong. Maybe he's not.
Right.
Maybe this is Kenny Clark's last year here, and even though he's had an unbelievable run, that they feel like the risk of paying him, you know, what he would be worth, assuming he has another good year, just isn't worth it for, you know, one of the older players on their roster. And if that's the case, then defensive tackle or defensive line is a much bigger need than I think maybe people are considering it. But again, that depends on what they think and what their plans are for Kenny Clark. So, you know, you could put that in a need maybe higher than most people think. Obviously, they need another safety, unless even if they're planning on going with Anthony Johnson Jr., as the other safety, I mean, that's it, right? You're going to have to get someone who can play. And I don't necessarily mean a guy who is a seventh-round pick, although Johnson was a seventh-round pick last year, so maybe I'm wrong there. You know, I don't necessarily think their need at corner is super high, yet I still have them taking a player who could play corner, could play safety, because I think that they value the versatility of DeJean so much. You know, and then, I mean, like you said, every position. The only position I would be surprised if they took high, and by high, I guess I mean in that first 91, is an edge rusher. I still think they, you know, they have a lot of plans for Lucas Van Ness. They obviously paid Rashawn Gary. They have Preston Smith back. Now, it's a little bit like, I guess maybe I'm contradicting myself here, because if this is Preston Smith's last year,
right?
You know, like Kenny Clark said, maybe you do need one. But I think in this case, you still have a young player in Lucas Van Ness who steps in there, and then maybe you draft one the following year.
Yeah, do you think there's any chance Lucas Van Ness moves inside, especially on nickel, where you put him like in a Cullen Jenkins role?
Yep.
And if a Chop Robinson, who they may like, falls, they could get him.
Sure.
Because you just said Preston Smith, we don't know how long he's going to be here. Is that something you could see Green Bay doing?
Yeah, that's a great comp too, Cullen Jenkins, right? I mean, that's the last time we saw a guy who truly could move inside and be really effective at that spot. Sure, yeah, I think that's a great point, Taush. I do think that this whole – we're going to see something or some things, plural, that when we get into OTA's minicamp, or maybe it's not till training camp, that with this defense that you see that this coaching staff had – a different viewpoint of how a player, you know, is best used than what we saw last year. And that could be one of those things. It certainly could be Quay Walker, maybe in not exactly the linebacker position that you might think he is. Maybe he's a Sam, maybe he's a Will, whatever the case is. There's going to be something different with this defense, and certainly moving a guy or using a guy like Van Ness or Gary, you know, inside more, maybe a possibility.
Yeah, it was. So you just are talking about the off the ball linebackers. Think they feel good about McDuffie? Think they feel good about Quay? How big of a need do you see Brian Gutekunst looking at saying? And how high do you want to use a pick? To go get somebody that could step in there? Because right now, who's going to be those three when they're in base defense? And where do you see that position as far as from a depth standpoint?
Yeah, who right now the third linebacker would probably be what? Eric Wilson, maybe? He did
Christian
play
Welch.
Christian Welch played zero defensive snaps last year and I think has less than 100 defensive snaps in his 5 or 6 year NFL career, which is hard to believe. Eric Wilson did play a couple hundred snaps on defense last year, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, I do think that, you know, they would love to have another young player who, you know, who could play that spot. I don't think it has to be a day one or day two pick, though. I really don't. I think you can find a really good off-the-ball linebacker who's athletic in the fourth round, maybe even the fifth round. So I don't think it's a huge priority. The other thing, Taush, too, is, you know, I mean, yes, the 4-3 is their base, but, you know, some base used to imply that's what you played more often than not, this is, you know, I'm talking 20 years ago, now base is just what you play on first and second down or first down, and everything else is nickel, so you don't necessarily need that third linebacker for more than, what, a quarter of the defensive snaps. And so you're going to really, you're really going to draft a guy in the second or third round that's going to play 20, 30% of the snaps.
Well, when we talk about alignments and defensive front, we hit Jason Wilde as kind of our expert on two down fronts, three down fronts, spacing, everything else. So, Jason, you can explain that after Rob leaves. Rob, last one for me. Jaire Alexander shows up to the off-season workouts. Everybody's excited about it. How do you, where do you think that relationship is? And I look, because you're a predictor, is Jaire Alexander – this guaranteed money, I know his cap number goes down, all that stuff next year if they get rid of him. Do you see Jaire still as someone they view as he's going to be here for a long time, or is this going to be a let's see how he reacts into this new defense?
Probably more of the latter than the former, see how he reacts. The other thing, too, what if they do draft Cooper DeJean and play him, you know, in a sub role for a year and think he's really good, and they decide they want to get younger there and cheaper there and move on from Jaire? I will say this. I still think Jaire's a really, really, really good player, Pro Bowl potential type of player, maybe even All-Pro potential. And I think that I want to think that sort of the rocky part of their relationship is behind them. I'll tell you this, Tausch, and maybe you've had interactions like this before, but sometimes the best relationships you end up having start with a conflict. And there have been plenty of people over
conflict
the years.
Conflict is good, an old football coach used to say.
That's right. Old ball coach says it's good. Yeah. But the idea that maybe the conflict that they had last year, you know, whether it was him and Jaire and LaFleur, Jaire and Goody, or Jaire versus everybody, or maybe it was Joe Barry, whatever – you know, I think the idea that you can come out of that on the, you know, on the other side in a better place, I think is real. There have been plenty of people in my professional life and dealings that started out rocky, or you had a bad interaction and you were ended up better because of it. And, you know, I want to think that that's possible here in this case with Jaire and LaFleur, or Jaire and management, whatever Jaire's beef is or was.
Who'd you get off to a rocky start with?
Yeah. Who are those people? Just give us one name, Rob.
Somebody that Tausch, well, obviously you both know him very well, but someone that Tausch knows intimately well, a former coach of his, who I would now consider among my favorite people in this business. He and I did not start out on a very good note, and we're talking about one James Campen.
His name rhymes with James Campen.
You're kind of you're a feisty guy, though. Wildy's not as feisty, I would say. Jason, because you're not as combative as Rob. Is that a fair assessment?
I think Rob and I get along great because we're a little bit different. I think that's part of it.
Yin and yang.
Indeed. All right, last two for me, Rob. One, there's no way they're giving the fifth-year option to Eric Stokes, which also factors into the Cooper DeJean pick, right?
Yeah. Right. Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, and with Stokes, like, there's just nothing to go off of there, right? It doesn't necessarily mean that Eric Stokes can't go have a really good year and then sign another deal. In fact,
like Nick Perry.
Nick Perry, that was the one. I knew there was one that they re-signed. Yep.
And then the other thing, the last thing for me, it was interesting, you know, this Goody idea that I would like to have 13 or 14 picks, and it doesn't faze me that we have all these young guys. I know some thought that was subterfuge, because that's a fun word to say. On the flip side, I think he's had this, like, come to Jesus deal. And he made a comment toward the end when I asked him about this, about the idea of he had always believed that if you let young guys play through their mistakes, they're better on the other side. I think he is Mr. And it probably affects Kenny Clark from your earlier point. Yeah. I think he is all about a young man's game now. Do you agree with that, or am I assuming?
No, I 100% agree. 100% agree, which is why I brought up the Kenny Clark thing. We all, you know, many people probably assume that because Kenny Clark's still a dominant player, and that he's, you know, going to be here for another contract, and maybe he will be, and you know, it would be I would have no criticism, you know, if that was the case. But Goody's track record tells you that, you know, better to get rid of a guy a year, maybe 2 years early, then a year too late. And I mean, you know, that's not necessarily just Goody's. He didn't come up with that, but it's an adage that some people follow in the league and some people don't. I definitely think you would consider him a follower of that rather than a non-believer.
Rob, I'll see you later this afternoon when we tape our picks. I want to see if you stick with Cooper DeGene or not. And then we'll
spread it out, man. The more the more guys you say, the more likely you are to be right.
100% Tausch. So I guess on WBAY tonight, it won't be Cooper DeGene.
All right. That is the great Rob Domofsky. Thanks, Rob. We appreciate your time, buddy.
We'll be seeing you.
Tausch, raise a Coors Light to Rob because he deserves it with all the insights and the predictions and the news breaking and everything he brings.
Yeah, he's great.
To our visits.
He's great, just like Coors Light is great, brewed with a three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and it is cold packaged because it's made to chill. Born in the Rocky Mountains of Colorado in 1978, Coors Light's refreshing. It is crisp. It's only 102 calories. That's why it is Coors Light in my hand when I need a moment to chill. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, a golden Colorado.
Well, ask Tausch what the most interesting thing was that he heard from his favorite beat writer next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
You're listening to Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Missed any of the show? Find us on Wisconsin On Demand wherever you get your podcasts. It's free, it's everywhere, and it's for you.
Rob Domofsky, always great to catch up with him and get his insights. He made a point.
I can't wait to hear this WBAY clip today. Who is Jason Wilde, who doesn't predict? Who's he predicting that the G&G are going to pick? Do you tell Chris Roth and Pat Mayo and the whole crew up there, hey, I don't predict, so I'm not going to give you, I'm not going to give you a mock? What do you say?
Dane Brugler from The Athletic with a tweet moments ago.
Oh, boy. I think I ran out the old birdcage a little bit, didn't I, Jay Bird?
There are occasions where we make predictions. I get it. But I don't like the people that's all they do. It's all they do is make predictions. And they have eight different mock drafts where they pick eight different people. Yep. That's not insight to me. And it's not insight. I'll say this. When I pick Amarius Mims tonight on WBAY, it's because he came in for a visit. It's because he is what Goody always talks about. His best football is in front of him. The dude started eight college games. Mm-hmm. It's because they have a line right now with a group of five that if the season started today, they're perfectly fine starting them. And that gives Mims a chance to grow into being an NFL player. So when I make a prediction, it's still a guess. But at least I use the breadcrumbs that Goody drops to make it somewhat insightful instead of all this crap that comes out for the last 2 months going into the draft. So get off my back. Now,
gosh,
to Rob's point.
Brugler. What has Brugler
got? Well, he just tweeted this. Josh, he just sent it to me. He said, it's a very top-heavy offensive tackle draft, so you better get your guy early. And that leads into what Rob said. Like, if they really like Mims, they probably can't stay at 25. He's probably not going to get to him because other teams are going to view him as the same way I think the Packers do and why they brought him in is, hey, this guy may not be ready to play immediately, but he is a sick athlete. He's got great size. This is the kind of guy that could be your tackle for a decade. We could put him on the opposite side of Zach Tom, but he ain't going to be ready right now, first day of the 2024 season. So to Rob's point, Tausch, I guess I'm curious how Goody is weighing, I really want to keep these five picks, the five of the first 91, and get five good players, against if I want to get a really good player, I'm going to have to give up one of these picks to go up and get him.
Yeah, Goody is not like old boy from the Rams where he's like, blank them picks. And that's frustrated some Packer fans, especially in the COVID era of Aaron Rodgers football, where it felt like, we're here, let's go make a move to go put us over the top. Now I think with that home run draft that he put together last year, you can be a little bit more patient. And that's the thing where GMs get in all this trouble, is when it's instant gratification. We have to do this. And you put a guy in a position to fail. So Mimsy, who's only played 8 games, if they bring him in and it's like, all right, baby, here we go, protect Jordan Love. And then he whiffs and Jordan Love gets hit and his confidence gets shaken. That's the what you need to avoid. So if Mimsy goes to the Jets or somewhere else where, we got to put you out there. We need you.
Right.
Some guys aren't ready for that, especially someone with the little experience that Mimsy's had. So I think it's an interesting Mimsy. Point. And from my point of view with Goot, I don't want you to ever say blink them picks. This is a draft and develop operation, and it's been very successful. But I also don't want you to say, I really don't want to give up pick 68, even though I can get Mimsy, who I know is going to be in year 2, the guy we want for the next 8 to 10 years playing left tackle for Jordan Love. If that's what it takes and you have that conviction, then I want you to say, blank them picks. Or blank that pick. Maybe not blank them picks.
Daniel Jeremiah, the NFL draft analyst for NFL.com and the NFL Network. To summarize my last 5 phone calls, everyone is moving up for an offensive tackle. So there's an... now, again, maybe there's some subterfuge, right?
Yeah.
But if that's the case, then the market will be robust to move up tomorrow.
Don't you sense your old buddy and Goody?
Which one? I got a lot of old buddies. Schneidy?
Yes.
For Mimsy? Schneidy and Goody to get your Mimsy?
They're at 16. I don't think they're going to go QB this year unless they decide to move up. I think Schneids is looking at it saying, we need to get better at a lot of places. We need to get more talent. Green Bay's got it. Green Bay wants Mimsy or whomever it is, and there's a natural fit there. I wouldn't be shocked if those boys play ball tomorrow night.
John Schneider has done a fair amount of moving back in drafts, moving out of the first round on a couple of occasions to accumulate more picks. So it'll be interesting to see if that does come together. The Seahawks are at 16. I also think while he's got more Ron Wolf in him than Ted Thompson when it comes to his approach, I think John Schneider has, without Pete Carroll there, I think he's taken a little more Ted approach. If you look at kind of how they handled free agency this year, I think he's looking at it going, all right, I've made some deals, right? Didn't he trade for Percy Harvin?
He
had some pretty bold maneuvers for a while there. I think after trading Russell Wilson and getting a haul, I think he might like them picks.
What a genius that was, huh?
I think he might like them picks. All right, we'll talk more about the NFL draft as we roll on here, the 10 o'clock hour. Are we really? Did you run into someone who took off their shoes on an airplane? Is that what happened here? Because
that's just an everyday topic. It's something that I find very interesting, but we got too much stuff today. We'll do the shoes later.
We already did pancakes. Jesse, we can't do shoes on an airplane.
On
hey, Rob's back.
Big boy,
whoops.
Rob.
Oh, just a freeze frame. All right, we'll kick off the 10 o'clock hour without Rob Dabowski in 2 minutes. So stick around. It's Wildy and Tap.